100 years ago, Leopold Stokowski first stood on the podium as music director of the Philadelphia Orchestra. This week, under the baton of music director-designate Yannick Nezet-Séguin, the orchestra has been paying tribute to Stokowski's legacy. Although there is a bit of mystery about the personal life of Stokowski, the orchestra's new leader is less concerned with mythology and more interested in the musical tradition he will inherit this fall. Earlier this week, Yannick reflected on how Stokowski shaped the Philadelphia sound, connected with audiences, and brought a certain spirit to music making that he aims to honour and translate for contemporary audiences. There's such a mythology about this man. Did you feel the need to delve into that at all, or is it important?
No, I think it's something to recognise, but I certainly am not the person the most informed about him as a myth. I just come here more as a conductor who looks at a very prestigious and important predecessor, and within the sky of the greatest conductors in the world, Stokowski has his own place. And I think that every conductor living and acting now is looking at that legacy. And now, because I'm here in Philadelphia 100 years later, I want to pay tribute to my predecessor. So that's as simple as this for now. But of course, the extra musical elements are nice to know, and it's funny for some, it's irritating for some others, and it's part of the bigger-than-life aspect that he was. But the most important thing is what he has left in the orchestra in terms of sound, which was still cultivated by Ormandy in a different way, and which the fact of going back at the Academy is really a direct tribute, and we want to get back to that sound. That's as simple as that.
Despite all of the way he imaginatively presented himself, I guess is the nice way of saying it, he had an incredible connection with musicians.
Yeah.
He could talk to them. I mean, clearly on the podium he was very talented, but he also had a great connection with musicians. Something the two of you share, I suspect.
Well, yeah, times are different, but I'd like to think that within those parameters, yes, I can feel that we value sound and individual input in the sound the same way, which means also that there has to be this connection, which is yes, it's human, whether it's direct talking, whether it's eye contact, whether it's to get the sense of ownership that a musician should feel in a great orchestra as being part of this incredible sound. And I believe that this is what he has cultivated and that I'm taking. And, well, I'd like to think so. I mean, I will ask him directly eventually, but hopefully not too soon.
Not too soon. You're going back to the place where he performed, playing a lot of repertoire that he made famous or that's associated with him. Has there been any talk or have you done anything in terms of actually going into the library here and picking out his copies of the music, with his bowings and all the different ways that he interpreted things?
Of course, we could have gone this way, but for the moment, I mean, this is the first installment of a tribute. I believe now there's no clear plans because we are going back, we're making this festival, we take the opportunity of the 100th years and of distance and the parallel between his beginning, my beginning, and his initial program ideas and all of this, also visual enhancement the way, and we're taking all this opportunity because I feel this is really the right way to start. But in my mind, this will not stop there, because as I want to reconnect the city with its orchestra, reconnect this orchestra with its sound. Therefore, the best way of doing it is also to looking in our own tradition. And there's so many transcriptions that he did, of course. You know, there's our ears today would say, oh, it's tweaking of the pieces.
Yeah.
But if we listen to Mengelberg or to Furtwängler at the same time, everything was very individual. And what I did this time was actually at least to listen to all that I could. The only piece that we will be performing, which I could not listen with his own interpretation, was Brahms 1. This I couldn't find. But all the rest, you know, was pretty easy to find.
And did any of it jar? Because Toscanini famously was very critical of Stokowski, that Stokowski didn't play what was on the page, that it was more about Stokowski than the composer. Yeah. Did any of it jar you when you listened to his transcriptions?
Much to my surprise, I have to say that I find his ideas very organic. And it's very rare. There's only one idea, a small idea in the Dvorak 9. And I even told the musicians, I said, you know, I know this is a tradition to go so slow here. And I know Stokowski did, but this, I'm unable to relate to that. But in Scheherazade, for example, I just think that he makes the most out of this piece. And the more picturesque would be the music, the more appropriate maybe those decisions would be. And I've always been a great admirer of the people who would take risk with what's on the page, because they show us that actually that's what it is. What's on the page is only the beginning.
And it's particularly with Scheherazade, which can be dull if you were to play it directly. And so what are you going to do with it then?
You know, there's this danger in the world now anyway, that we look at the piece of music and we say, yeah, we need to respect the composer's intentions, and then we think that by only reproducing the notes and nothing less, nothing more, we are, I don't know, accurate or something like this. And the beauty of making this music alive is actually to respect the composer's spirit by respecting the letter. But the letter is just, the, like I said, the beginning. It's what's happening between the notes, which is important. So in the transcriptions, for example, he would express by musical indications what should be a natural rubato, or that something that is natural that you would do in the acceleration of a phrase and then a ritenuto, he would actually write it down as a metrical value, which I think goes very much with how the composers were composing anyway in the first half of the 20th century. But that doesn't mean that it's a destruction, and that afterwards the Toscanini was saying that he was a big danger and big destroyer or something like this in life. And okay, maybe he was referring to some cuts in the music which had to be done for Fantasia, for example, in the Beethoven Pastoral. Okay, that's not something that's ideal. Okay, but it was for a purpose as well. You know, Toscanini couldn't have predicted how Fantasia introduced for so many generations so many people to classical music. So this spirit is what fascinates me and what I want to recreate. Maybe that's too big a word, because how can we recreate this?
But maybe at least feed from it?
Yeah, no, that's well said. Feed from it, because I believe that in order to be the orchestra of the present and the future, we have this wonderful opportunity to look at our own past. And we're probably the only orchestra that can do so in that sense, in terms of being open, being reachable, and reach more people. And this was exactly the spirit of this Stokowski, who 100 years ago was so groundbreaking with it. So we should, keep this alive. And this is, like I said, the very exciting first installment in all of this.
As we're broadcasting this Saturday morning, it's about 11:07, and you are now on stage at the Academy of Music for the family concert. This evening, you'll be doing the audience favourites. Well, two questions. Would you like to see more audience participation in the selection of repertoire? And two, were you surprised by what the audience came up with?
What was really, really, really encouraging was not only the number of votes for something which has been lost. It's not a tradition now, and I certainly intend to do it more, because, again, this is something that Stokowski used to do, and this is precisely why. But with a difference that we used our social media this time, and we had a varied opportunity for people to write in or leave a message. But what was fantastic is to see the comments which were going with the choices. Or when we first let it completely like a blank page in the first step, the range of ideas of what the audience wanted to hear was breathtaking. And the results, yeah, some of it is predictable, and yet some of it is not so predictable.
Like what? So let's say Ride of the Valkyries is predictable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would even say that the Symphonic Dances West Side Story, sure. Yes. But Stravinsky, Firebird, 1919. I mean, okay, yes, it's a well-known piece, but it still is something that a few decades ago would not have gone down so well. And that means that people have also a taste for something that's broad. We had suggestions which ended up not winning, but some selections of really new music, like Jennifer Higdon, Blue Cathedral. You know, that's quite impressive. And that shows us that, of course, now we go with the counting of votes, but I would like to use this process of votes and of suggestions as maybe a regular way of exchanging ideas about the programming, and use it to really materialize what I want to do, is to make even more this Philadelphia Orchestra the Philadelphians Orchestra.
The Philadelphia Orchestra's music director designate, Yannick Nezet-Séguin. Tonight he conducts the orchestra in a program of audience choices, the final concert in this week's Stokowski celebration.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.